Either you finally came to your senses with a little push, or you brought me my phone. Which is it, Nick?
He raises his brows, causing me to lower mine. His phone? His phone. He must have dropped his phone at the bar when Leonard kicked him out, placing him there during the incident. You sent that man to me, I declare, shaking my head in complete disgust. I can't believe you. You sent him there to do what? Rape me? Torture me? What was your plan? He rolls his eyes.
Quit being so overdramatic. Those types of things can happen when you work in that environment. I've warned you about this.
His knowing arrogance is setting my insides ablaze with anger and retribution. It's why I saw the man there before, and it's why he grabbed me. It was Patrick's sick attempts to control the situation around him and make me quit the bar through intimidation and scare tactics. So you set this up. You sent him there to scare me, not knowing he was going to try to actually rape me. And then, what? Your jealousy got the best of you?
I'm sorry, what? Jealousy?
Why did you do it? You might have killed him, you know? He pauses, tilting his head at me, confused. Of course he's confused. What I'm saying isn't making any sense to him because he wasn't there. But the police on the other end of this phone don't know that. His face contorts, looking at me.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I can only hope it worked. Maybe now you'll realize what side you want to be on. I told you digging up old graves wouldn't be good for you.
He states, proving he sent that guy there to fuck with me. Perfect timing, too. Hawk was locked up at the time, and I was alone, in need of help. Either he hoped I'd come running home into the comfort of his arms, or worse, the guy was planning on keeping me quiet forever. The realization causes my body to shake with rage as I curl my nails into my palms. He slowly descends the stairs towards me, reaching the base where I'm standing with my keys in hand, chest heaving, eyes set on evil. He takes his hand and brushes some hair off my forehead. I slap it away. Do not touch me, I seethe. He drops his hand, chuckling at my behavior as he puts his hands in his pockets.
Don't play with people out of your league, Nick. You'll lose. Every time.
Out of my league? I question with sarcasm. Oh, like Hawk? Was he out of your league? Never quite reaching your elite status, huh?
Definitely. He's far beneath where you could be, which is why I can't seem to understand why you'd waste your time with this whole defiance act.
I can't stand this man. Why couldn't I see this before? Why couldn't I see the true colors of this sick and twisted individual I'd almost locked myself into a lifetime with? Everything about this family is a facade. The good, wholesome, pure looks are caked on over the deceitful, conniving, arrogant souls beneath. If Hawk's so beneath you, why even offer him a place to live? Why act like you're helping him when you couldn't care less?
Because it was the right thing to do.
He says the stupid phrase again.
It's not like he has anything or anyone anyway.
Pretty easy to pin a murder on a kid with nothing to his name, huh? I ask, cocking my head. Even easier to lie about him hitting you when it was really a woman who gave you that little shiner you're sporting. He laughs. He actually has the audacity to laugh. I have to keep my cool, calm myself and continue, but it's getting harder and harder. I need to scale back.
I don't understand why you need to keep pushing this. Truly, I don't, Nick. It's ridiculous to me.
I just stand there with wide eyes, shaking my head in disbelief. How can he not understand? He sighs, looking down at the ground before his eyes reach mine again.
I really wish we could have just forgotten all about it.
He says quietly, his face softening. I sense a dejection deep within him, a pain in his heart at losing me to something out of his control. I need to exploit that. I sigh, placing my hand on my forehead, calming myself. I have a right to know, especially if we have a chance at a future together, Patrick. I reply in a softer tone, one that reeks of sincerity.
I don't know if a future with you is what my family wants for me anymore, especially after what you've done. Sean knew something was going on between you two, but I didn't want to believe it.
But what do you want, Patrick? Yes, I've made mistakes. Yes, I've done things I shouldn't, but that doesn't make what we had just go away, does it? What about forgiveness? I slowly inch closer to him.
The horrible things you said at the bar. I know it's not your character to do those vile acts. You were acting out in defiance, saying things to get under my skin. I get it.
You're right. I wasn't being honest. I would never go so far as to let someone take that away from you. I would. I would do it again and again.
I know, Nick, and it's true. I can't just turn off these feelings for you, as much as your indiscretions tell me I should. You have so much making up to do, so much to prove to me.
I bite my bottom lip, looking up at him with weak, sad eyes. This is exactly what he needs. A way to maintain control over me by my need to prove to him I'm worthy of his love. He stares back at me, his arrogant demeanor relaxing some. I know there's a part of him that still loves me and wishes we could go back to that easier time. A time where endless questioning and difficult truths weren't a problem for him. We can start by being honest with each other. No one else needs to be present in our relationship but us. Just us and our secrets, I whisper, giving him the sense of security he seems to need to open up that vault that is his past. He takes a breath, stepping closer to me and taking my hand in his. I let him, as he decides to come clean. What happened, Patrick? I ask quietly, pressing myself closer into him.
I can't take credit for the events after the accident and the way it was handled. That was my father's doing.
He looks down at the grass beneath his boots.
He helped finagle me out of that potentially catastrophic dilemma. Either way, what's done is done. There's no changing the past, Nick.
The pain, cracking my heart in half when I hear him call Ben's death his dilemma, almost renders me useless until I find the strength deep inside. The strength for Hawk. The strength for Ben. So it was you, I whisper, already knowing. You were in that car.
Is that what you need to move forward?
He questions, frustrated. It's what I need. It's what we need. I nod, agreeing. He sighs, shaking his head at me like I'm a child asking for more candy.
Yes, Nick, I was in that car. I was driving and we crashed. It could have been any of us. We were all drunk. Accidents happen, but some futures aren't worth messing up.
I stare at him with eyes as wide as saucers. I can't believe the prick actually admitted it.
Are you happy now? Are you ready to put the past in the past and move on like the rest of us?
He asks, rolling his eyes like this entire event was just some little stain that needed covering. I sigh, closing my eyes as the tears fall freely and a huge smile stretches across my face. I've never been filled with such relief, such happiness, such pure satisfaction of knowing the chains have finally been broken. Before anything else can be said, I hear the cars approaching. Lights begin flashing around me as the police pull up to the property. I drop his hand, taking a step back to pull my phone out of my pocket, verifying that it's still on. And it is. I lift the phone to my ear, hearing a woman on the receiver inform someone else that the police are indeed at the location. They heard everything, and now I know it's been recorded.
Put your hands in the air.
One of the policemen yells at Patrick, pointing a gun in his direction.
What? No, you've got the wrong guy. This is a mistake, clearly.
Patrick tries to reason with him.
No mistake here.
The officer begins, walking up to Patrick and attempting to put his hands behind his back.
We've received numerous calls, one of you threatening a woman at the bar, another of you physically harassing her, and then, of course, there's the man beaten into a coma.
John must have called the police after our conversation, and Leonard after the scene played out before him at the bar. And then there's Hawk, vicious as hell when he needs to be to protect me, no matter the cost. Not to mention, he was just recently released for another wrongful conviction in which they clearly had no proof. Julie must have worked her magic for him. Regardless of how he got there, the truth of the matter is he totally and completely saved me from that horrible man. Both of them, actually.
I didn't do that. That's crazy. I would never.
Patrick cries out as they attempt to grab his swinging hands.
By looking at your knuckles, I'd say otherwise.
The officer states, grabbing and inspecting his fists. Sure enough, the cuts from his blow-up in the bedroom when he punched the drywall and threw the lamp came in handy. They literally fit the bill as a person who beat someone into unconsciousness. The cop mentions as they continue their protocols.
That wasn't me. I'd never defend this slut. She had it coming.
Your cell phone was found at the location?
The cop mentions as they continue their protocols.
How you gonna explain that one?
He's losing his mind. He's flailing as the officers detain him, screaming for his lawyers, his father, all things he hopes can save him. But none of it can now. The police have him, and now they have his confession. I see another car drive up, and it's Kid and Hawk. He barely waits for the car to slow before he's jumping out of the passenger side, stumbling slightly before he gets his feet under him, running to me.
Cole.
He grabs me quickly under his arm as I wrap myself around him while he scans the space around us, making sure there are no threats to my safety.
He didn't touch you, did he? Are you all right?
No, he didn't. I'm fine. Never been better, actually.
What did you do? What happened? How did this?
He trails his sentence, running a hand through his hair before trailing it down his face as he takes in the police cars, Patrick, and the entire scene. I turn to face him, gripping his face between my palms, gaining his complete attention. His eyes are worried, confused, yet trusting. He confessed, I say with tears filling my eyes, blinking them down my face as I continue talking. He confessed, Cameron, and they got it all. His face is ghost white as he gazes at me in complete disbelief.
Sir, stand back, please.
Another officer instructs as they finish pushing Patrick into the back of the police car. He pulls me to the side, keeping his arms wrapped around me as we watch it all unfold. Patrick glances back over at me, seeing Hawk now holding my frame against him.
You son of a bitch, we had an agreement. You won't see a penny of it.
Patrick yells, completely obliterating himself without the presence of his father to stop him.
And her, she's lying. I never touched anyone. You won't get away with this when my father...
His voice gets cut off as the door slams shut, ending the toxic noise invading our ears before they slowly pull away. I grab for Hawk's hands, bringing his knuckles to my lips. Untouched, I whisper as he cocks his eyebrow. Your knuckles. The motorcycle gloves. Sometimes fate lines it up just right. You have to endure the pain and live in it in order to gain strength, to become indestructible on your own and fight the monsters you encounter with their own weaknesses. Everything else falls right into place. Kid runs up behind us, breathless, like it was 10 miles and not the 10 steps it took to reach us from the car. The three of us stand there silently for a moment, watching them take him away, watching as the car finally fades from our vision. I see Cameron wiping tears away from his eyes, and I know it's been on his mind. I squeeze him tightly, feeling every bit of this poetic justice. Another officer approaches me, getting my information to take me in for an official statement and more questioning. If Hawk will allow it, that is. He's gripping onto me, his arms wrapped around me so firmly it makes me feel a comfort I've never known.
I guess I'll be here, waiting for you,
he says, turning to hold my face in his hands, looking down at me with such adoration and love that my heart feels like it could explode out of my chest. "As you should. It's your home," I reply with an easy grin. He grips the back of my neck, pulling me into him, our foreheads meshing together as he stares down at me.
"My home is right here,"
he says with conviction, moving his palm to the place my racing heart resides. I push up on my tiptoes, capturing his lips in mine for a sweet, soft kiss, before he rests our foreheads together again.
"You freed me from my cage, Cole. You brought me back to life, and you freed me."
"We freed each other, Hawk," I whisper, holding the side of his neck, gazing lovingly into his eyes. "And now it's our time to fly." 47. The best kind of pain. "Oh, Cam," I moan, closing my eyes tightly. "It hurts."
"Just a bit more,"
he whispers in my ear, his hands gripping my shoulders.
"You can take it."
"Cam," I hiss before biting down on my bottom lip, taking the pain.
"Yeah, that's my girl."
"Oh, shit. I can't take it. I can't take it," I cry out, dropping my head back, the pain becoming too much.
"Baby, sit still. It's almost done already."
Sure enough, the guy finishes the last line just as I've all but given up with my weak pain tolerance.
"There you go, doll."
The tattoo artist winks at me as he washes it, then wipes it down one last time, making Hawk narrow his eyes at him. I can't contain my excitement now that the pain is over. How he has so many tattoos, I have no idea. It's not for the weak. That shit hurt. Walking over to the mirror, I stand before it, checking out my first and only tattoo. It's an all-black Hawk on the side of my rib, just beneath my breast. Hawk walks up behind me, smiling with his eyes as he circles around me to take a look.
"I can't believe you actually did it,"
he grins, eyeing it and then my entire body as a whole, biting the corner of his lip.
"That's sexy as fuck."
Yep, just hearing him admire it makes the pain worth it. I'd endure more of it just to hear his approval. He makes me feel so beautiful, so rare, so unique. Truly the best kind of pain. "I can't believe you told me not to," I reply, admiring how amazing it looks on me, like it was meant to be there. He plants himself behind me in the mirror, his hands holding onto my hips as he continues talking to our reflection.
"I just didn't want you to regret it. You know there's a negative connotation around couples' tattoos."
"Hawk," I say, turning to face him. "You literally put my name on your forearm." He smiles, looking down at the tattoo. On the inside of his forearm, near the elbow, he had me write out Cole in cursive.
"That's different. I'm obsessed with you. It makes sense."
I smack his shoulder playfully, making him show me that beautiful smile of his before wrapping my arms around his neck. "Why do you think I got my Hawk?" I cock my brow with a smirk, making him smile shyly. "Always a part of me now, Cam."
"I fucking love you."
He leans down, pressing his full lips onto mine before they travel to my neck. His tongue darts out, licking the spot beneath my ear, making me release a breath from my lips. His lips find my earlobe, dragging his teeth on the sensitive spot, he whispers.
"I can't wait to fuck you with your new tat."
I swallow, my pulse instantly racing at the words whispered. My eyes look behind us and I see the tattoo guy grinning at us, clearly seeing my lustful expression. My cheeks have to be a deep shade of red. Yep, time to leave. We head back to the house again after hitting the grocery store for a few items. Things are different here beneath this roof, within these walls. It's warmer with just the two of us, but there's still a lingering energy that doesn't sit right. Patrick is gone, still locked up and awaiting trial. Apparently, his father tried to post bail to have him released until his court date, but because of the severity of the crime, he wasn't offered it. The thought of him sitting there, waiting for Daddy to pay his way out, only to find out that a manslaughter charge doesn't allow bail, makes me feel so warm and fuzzy inside. His brother Sean came and picked up the rest of his things from the house last week. We graciously had everything spread throughout the lawn as we sat on the porch, watching with cocktails in hand as he loaded it up himself. Patrick's charges included a laundry list of federal offenses: obstruction of justice, fleeing a scene, manslaughter. Even his buddy filed charges against him, assuming Patrick was the one who beat him up, so an assault charge to top it off. I filed a restraining order, per Hawk and Julie's advice. His father was also being charged with obstruction of justice for attempting to pay off and cover up the accident on Patrick's behalf. The way it's all panning out, Patrick appears to be looking at around at least 15 years with the total charges, if he gets it all. It would be a miracle, but we can hope, right? Julie dug her heels into this state of affairs after seeing and hearing what truthfully transpired. She had her attorney friends take on the case pro bono in order to nail this family and get Hawk released from his charges. Filings were already made to have his record expunged, removing all prior history from his record, leaving him with the clean slate he deserved. In the meantime, we're sharing the space in his house like never before, for the first time, alone together. It's kind of strange to have already lived with your boyfriend before you became a couple. I already know his weird quirks, one being his oddly clean and tidy behavior, just as he knows my incessant need to have fuzzy blankets all over the house. Living with him is amazing. Waking up together every morning in each other's arms, then walking out and grabbing our coffee together while watching mob movies. Life couldn't get any better than this. We're living off the money Hawk already had from Patrick's family with the promise of more from the city for the wrongful conviction. It's hilarious how it all played out. I'm still working towards writing my own novel while maintaining my role as an editor, and Hawk is taking time off to enjoy life and his newfound freedom as we decide our next step together.
I want pizza,
Hawk calls out from the shower. Thank God! I hate cooking after shopping. I'm so tired. Hawk throws some sweatpants on, coming out to the kitchen with a towel in his hand, still drying his hair. His broad shoulders still have droplets of water clinging to him like they never want to leave. I get it, water droplets. Truly, I do. He smells like fresh, soapy heaven, splashed with some sort of cologne that gets my woman parts activated. That, paired with the sight of him shirtless, his broad chest and cut arms covered in his infamously scattered tats, wearing loose-fitting sweats with no underwear and a clear outline of his dick? Yeah, he's screwed.
Go cuddle up on the couch. I'll call it in,
he says, kissing the top of my head while getting the pizza brochure to call it up. The pizza arrived about 40 minutes later, interrupting our game of strip poker just before my shirt came off.
Oh, God damn it.
He curses out, throwing his cards.
I've never been more mad at pizza in all my life,
he mutters, getting up, leaving me giggling in delight. We eat while watching A Bronx Tale on the couch, practically on top of each other, pulling our slices straight from the box.
I wanted to talk to you about something,
Hawk says, brushing his hands off over the now empty pizza box, before turning to face me on the couch. Okay.
How do you feel about selling the house?
My eyebrows shoot up in surprise. I mean, I figured at some point you'd want to, but the decision is up to you, obviously. The connection you have to it.
I have no connection to tangible things. I have a connection to you and you alone.
His sentiment gives me pause. His love and obsession with me is adorable, to say the least. I just mean with your father. This was your home before all of this happened. Your attachment to it may differ from mine, I say softly, climbing into his lap. I softly drag my fingers from his shoulders down to his chest, touching every ripple of muscle I can before reaching the waistband to his sweats. He shifts his position beneath me, slouching slightly and adjusting his hips to accommodate me on his lap, while his hands find my thighs.
My attachment is to you. Everything else is up here and in here where it should be,
he says, pointing to his head and heart. A smile pulls at my lips at his abashed display of emotions, and the sight makes him grin. His eyes narrow slightly while his focus and attention turns to my body on top of his. He toys with his lip ring, a telltale sign he's thinking about sex. It's probably my favorite tick of his.
I've thought about our future, you know?
He comments in a softer tone, drawing small circles on my thigh with his index finger before gazing up at me shyly. You have? I ask, biting my lower lip, holding back my smile. I brush some of his hair off his forehead, admiring him. And tell me, what do you see? This is the first time we've really talked about us and plans that we may have. Everything before this was simply about survival. We had no objectives, we had no goals. But now, we've been given this opportunity for just that.
I see you sitting on the deck of our home off the coast of California, wind blowing through your hair as we watch the sunset together.
He grabs my waist, pulling me as close to him as he can.
I see you writing while gazing off at the blues, greens, and teals of the ocean. I see me working and doing something I love while helping you with your dreams. I see us being happy. Really fucking happy.
My heart aches. Everything he's describing and the way he sees it gives me such a blissful feeling. We can be happy. We will be happy. Really fucking happy.
And babies. Lots of fucking babies.
He adds, cocking a brow with a mischievous grin while squeezing my ass in his fingers. Hawk! I scold, my eyes opening wide in surprise. The fact that he's thought about me having his babies tells me everything I need to know about the future he's seen. It's us, forever. The promise of it all is making my stomach churn with excitement. I want that for us, too. It sounds like heaven. I sit up straight on his lap, grabbing for the hem of my crop top, pulling the shirt over my head, leaving my hair all disheveled around my face. He stares up at me, his lips slightly parted before I remove my bra as well. He licks his lips before swallowing as I see the roll of his Adam's apple. Having control over a man like him is an indescribable feeling. I'm a goddess in his eyes, glowing beneath his wonder. See? Didn't it turn out great? I ask, covering my breasts, turning slightly as I peel the bandage off the tattoo, eager to take a look and showcase it. He grabs my hands, pulling them away from my body, leaving my chest bare before him. He bites down on his lip before opening his mouth and finding my nipple. His hands work their way up my thighs to my waist, to finally cupping both breasts as he toys with my nipple between his lips.
It's fucking perfect,
he says between kisses. Cam, you're not even looking at it. He touches near the sensitive skin, gently running his fingers by it.
Trust me, I can't keep my eyes off it,
he says, kissing near the area, then sitting back as his eyes take me in.
God, you're beautiful.
I flush at his words, feeling each one of them travel to the pit of my stomach. His hand travels to the middle of my chest, resting his palm over my heart as he takes my hand, placing it over the exact same spot on his chest. I lean down, capturing his soft lips with mine. He kisses me slowly, achingly slow. His tongue drags along the length of mine before he angles his head and does it again with more force. The passion between us building, the heat between us, never more evident. What we do to each other is unimaginable. It's chaotic. It's wild. It's nothing short of beautiful. He places both my hands on the sides of his neck, pulling me in closer to him. I feel him, eager, hard, and ready beneath me under his sweats. I grind into him, kneading him against me, and he releases a breath at the contact. I need you now, I moan between kisses. His mouth drops open as his brows knit together.
I got you.
His promise, all I need. 48. Hold on. He lifts me quickly, hands beneath my bottom, supporting me as we move from the couch to the bedroom, mouths never disconnecting. Laying me back on the mattress, he pulls down my shorts, throwing them across the room before kneeling down at the edge of the bed. Hawk, I moan in anticipation. His eyes find mine, the moan captivating him, energizing him with his own lust and desire. He loves when I make noises for him, just as I love when he makes noises for me.
Oh, say it's us,
he demands, his lips trailing on my inner thigh.
Say you're mine, all mine.
His constant need to hear it never bothers me. I want to drown him in my admiration, bury him in endless love. I'm yours. I writhe beneath him, kneading those lush lips on me immediately. Always. He separates my legs with his hands, his tongue slowly dragging up my inner thigh before finally reaching my clit. His hands wrap around the top of my thighs, holding me in place as he licks the length of me, making me arch my back at the delicious sensation.
I love the taste of you,
he murmurs against my sex, driving me insane. His lips suck and kiss me in all the right places. His lip ring, adding the perfect sensation to the already stimulating experience. Pushing a finger inside of me, I cry out breathlessly. He looks up at me through his fallen black hair, his tongue flicking my clit before applying a forceful pressure against it. He knows my every tick, just as I know his. You're driving me insane, I groan, grabbing the bedsheets beneath me with white knuckles, attempting to hold off my impending orgasm. He's not having it, though. He loves when I come before sex, making me extra wet for him to slide in where he belongs. Slowly easing another finger inside of me, he begins sliding and withdrawing them at a steady pace. The feeling of him caressing the place that aches so badly to be touched by him drives me to the point of madness. I run my fingers through the hair at the top of his head, gripping it, then lifting my hips to meet his tongue. He groans approvingly, loving when I get rough with him, as my muscles seize up and the orgasm washes over me. My head hits the mattress as I call out to God again and again as he milks the pleasure out of me. Without missing a beat, he's on top of me, both of us stripped of the rest of our clothes beneath the comforter. Resting his hips between my thighs, he worships the skin of my neck and chest, never seeming to get his fix. I grab the back of his neck, pulling him up to my lips, kneading his tongue against mine, moving together in the electrifying way that we do. I love you, Cameron Hawk, I whisper, the breath of my sentence reaching his lips. He watches me intently in the hypnotic way that he does before I feel his tip graze my sex. With his lips parted, he gazes from my eyes to my lips, then back again, as he buries himself inside me. I struggle to keep my eyes open at the welcomed pain of accommodating him. He slides himself deep, eyes wincing, mouth dropping open as he does. We become stimulated by our wild and aching arousal for each other, both of us moaning out in pure bliss at our connection. His forearms give out as he puts his weight on me, forehead resting against mine, chest against chest, as close as we can possibly be.
You save me. You wreck me, break me apart, pick up my pieces, and you fucking save me.
I lose my breath at his statement. I could never feel more connected to another soul than I do with Cameron. I may save him, but he saves me too. He woke me from a lifetime of sleep, years of walking around without truly being awake. He helped make me the woman I am now by letting me see myself for who I really am and who I am in the reflection of those ocean eyes. I break him and pick up his pieces, but he obliterates me, tearing down the thoughts that used to make me, building me up again with my own instructions. He makes me the best form of myself. How could I not save him? He's the only one I've ever known worth saving. We make slow, sweet, and torturous love, the kind that makes you feel so much you could implode with how wild your heart beats. I feel him beneath my skin, deep within my bones, and everywhere beneath the surface that's otherwise untouchable. Our souls become so intertwined, locking through our dilated eyes and direct eye contact that keeps us fully engaged, completely present in one another, consumed by each other. I want to be woven so tightly with him we both forget what it's like to know loneliness. Time. There isn't enough time on this earth for us to ever get enough of each other. Tears stain my cheeks and he kisses each of them away as we hold each other, breathless in bliss. We heal each other with the love we're constantly feeling the need to prove. Only we don't need to prove it, not even a little bit. How do you prove the intangible? It's an undefined feeling we embrace and the trust between us never stronger. We let it take us to the edge of the cliff as we take that endless step off the ledge together, flying blindly into it, hand in hand as we bask in the feeling of free falling. The promise of forever is written in scars across each other's hearts. Never will there be a love like ours. We fought against it, but it found us hiding, proving all of this was out of our control, as out of control as it should be. You don't plan for these things to happen in life. The insurmountable pain, the torture of misfortune, the agony of losing loved ones too soon. You don't expect the forces around you to find a way to make good come of it. We as humans try to grasp for meaning during difficult times, telling ourselves to remain hopeful, that everything is for a reason. Sometimes those reasons make sense, and most times, they don't. There is always a constant, though. Love. It finds its way like a weed growing through the cracks of cement meant to hold it out. It's determined to show its beautiful self, even in the midst of the darkness surrounding it. Crazy things happen because of love. Unimaginable things that seem too rare to be purely coincidence. A month later, Patrick was officially charged and locked up along with his father for the crimes they committed. The family name was tarnished in a way that was always deserved. Justice finally prevailed, and it was a sweet and beautiful victory for Hawk and Ben. We later sold the house and all of our belongings, including my car. We felt freedom in starting over again with nothing but a couple of bags holding what we owned. There was power in knowing you didn't need anything but each other, despite the future being unknown. "That's it, babe," I say with a sigh, walking out of 9-to-5 slide for the last time. "It's official. I'm homeless and jobless." He pushes off the wall with one of his boots, where he was leaning with a little smirk on his face. Throwing out his cigarette and stomping on it, he approaches me slowly, his eyes trailing my body up and down, leaving fire in their wake. He brushes a few black strands of hair off his forehead, gazing at me before toying with his lip ring.
"Hottest homeless woman I've ever seen."
"Cole, wait."
I hear John's voice coming from behind me as he pushes through the doors. It wasn't easy saying goodbye to him. He's become such a good friend of mine and instrumental in the changing phase of my life. I'm leaving him on a good note, though. Anna had the baby, a little girl named June. His heart has never seemed fuller and his smile never so radiant. Uh-oh, what did I forget? He chuckles.
Nothing. Here,
he says, handing me a small wrapped item.
A gift from Leonard and I. A start to your new life.
He hands it to me with glassy eyes. I love how sensitive and empathetic he is. It's one of his best qualities. I'm going to miss him, and Leonard, and this little hole-in-the-wall bar that became like a second home to me.
I gotta go back in. I can't watch you guys leave. I'll be a blubbering mess, and no one wants a crying bartender.
He sniffs before giving me another hug, then shakes up with Hawk. Hawk approaches me from the side, his hands in the pockets of his leather jacket, peering at my gift. I rip the newspaper wrapping off like I can't do it fast enough. My emotions bubble over when I hold the gift in my hands. It's a leather hardcover book. On the front, an inscription. Redemption. I wipe my tears away, opening the freshly bound book, smelling the blank pages as I flip my thumb through them.
Is that the beginning of our story?
Hawk asks softly, wrapping his arms around me, his head on my shoulder, looking down at the blank book waiting to be filled. I smile to myself, clenching my jaw tightly, then nod through the falling tears. He squeezes me, gently kissing the side of my head. I put the book in my backpack, tying it back up as Hawk helps me with my helmet. He straddles the bike first, starting it up while holding onto the bar with his firm grip. We're off to California, heading towards the coast, leaving this little town and all it taught us behind, taking every lesson and moving forward. It's time to start fresh, time for our chance to live, really live. Hawk turns his head to me, waiting for me to hop on. I swing my leg over the warmed seat, slipping my hands beneath his leather coat, taking the opportunity to clutch onto his firm chest and abdomen while breathing him in. Leather, mint, and stale cigarettes. Who would have thought this smell would make my heart flutter? He stiffens, pausing for a moment to take off his helmet. His legs straighten as the goosebumps on his neck become present.
Unreal.
What? What's wrong? I ask, gripping his shirt, trying to turn him to face me. He chuckles to himself, staring down at something in disbelief. He laughs again and begins shaking his head. What is it? I ask again, confused.
Do you hear that?
I try to listen to the sounds around me, but nothing is striking a chord. He turns up the radio on the bike, and I get chills that start at the tips of my fingers where I'm holding on to him. They course through my body until I feel completely shook with an unworldly sensation. The beginning beat always gets me, like crickets hissing in the grass to the beat of the drums, the guitar strumming those notes you feel deep in your chest. The song, In the Air Tonight, by Phil Collins. Hawk turns to face me with a narrow-eyed smile, his full lips curling into ethereal beauty before me. He knows it, just as I do. He feels every bit of this significant moment just as I do, truly holding the weight of everything around us. He's here with us. And then, at the same time Phil sings he's been waiting for this moment his whole life, Hawk ends the phrase along with Phil while sitting back down, gripping my hands firmly around his torso again, the both of us smiling like crazy.
Hold on.
49. Bonus chapter. Endless Need. This chapter was initially pulled from the book because of thoughts that it may be a tad too steamy and take away from the character development. However, I held on to it and decided to release it as a bonus chapter. I set this scene after the chapter entitled The Car. I glare at my boyfriend with a fiery stare, attempting to burn a hole through the side of his head. This was his stupid idea, his plan to bring all of us together and clear the awkwardness out of the air. The tension he feels isn't simply a hatred between two individuals who have nothing in common and don't get along. No, it's not that at all. It's a raging sexual tension that burns like a wildfire between two people who do nothing but lust for each other. Knowing it's wrong, knowing that sexual desire is forbidden, but constantly feeling the need to burn ourselves to nothing but ash and smoldering coal nonetheless. He's passed out, knocked out cold into a deep, drunken sleep. One too many shots of Patron, clearly. But as I think about it, it all starts to make sense. This was Hawk's plan all along. The past few days have been rough for me. Hawk was staying away from Patrick and I again, popping in and out of the house at odd hours, making it almost impossible for us to connect on any level. It was such a confusing time, one I was on the verge of breaking free from. My heart was torn, but in reality, I simply missed time together. But now, here we are, the near-empty bottle sitting on the coffee table before us with the three shot glasses in front of each body, a reminder of the get-to-know-each-other drinking game Hawk came up with. Nothing about that game was innocent, like Patrick assumed. The questions started easy. We went around, each person taking a turn. You could answer the question given to you, or take the shot if you wanted to remain silent. It seemed Patrick had lots he didn't want to open up about. The tension between the two boys grew into something truly awkward as the silent shot-taking continued. I answered most of mine, but when Hawk's question started turning oddly sexual, everything got quiet on my end. Luckily, Patrick was phasing in and out of consciousness, unable to pick up on the subtle cues Hawk was throwing at me. His eyes constantly trailing the length of my body, licking that lip ring while gazing at me. I turned my glare from Patrick, who's resting back on the far end of the couch, mouth dropped open, completely gone to the world, to Hawk, who's conveniently settled himself next to me on the long part of the sectional. My scowl does nothing to deter that cheeky grin he wears on his stupidly perfect face as he attempts to pull the blanket from the back of the couch over us. I toss the soft gray blanket off of my legs, throwing it back at him. I'm stubborn, and he's really pushing it if he thinks we can just cuddle in front of Patrick, conscious or not. He chuckles at my willful attempts to move away before gripping my arm firmly, pulling me over towards him and directly onto his lap. I yelp at the force, attempting to pull my arm from his grasp. He's just too strong, and his hands are just too big. I squirm against his lap, trying to shake him off of me, not oblivious to the fact that he's becoming hard beneath me. This is so inappropriate. My boyfriend is passed out at the other end of the couch. Let me go, I whisper, turning back to face him. His eyes narrow and a devilish grin grows, completely enjoying this situation he so conveniently created.
No.
He quickly turns me around again to face away from him, holding onto my thigh with a dominating control. He's making it harder and harder to deny the root cause of this issue. Our inherent desire that's becoming more and more impossible to ignore. I told you to stop this, I snap at him, looking towards my boyfriend and back at him again. His smirk is gone, and a dark look crosses over his eyes. This, right here, I say, pointing between us. It's wrong. We have to stop.
No,
he answers again, totally dismissing me. He wraps an arm around my waist, pulling me further into him, my flimsy shorts against his sweats, leaving only a thin film of material between our aching sexes, all too eager to connect again. I close my eyes tightly, swallowing in an attempt to calm my nerves, calm my mind, shit, calm anything in his presence. Pulling the blanket up and over us again, he leans further back into the seat of the couch, dragging me with him. I shake my head at his relentless mission.
You never answered my question,
he says, grabbing the remote next to him and directing it towards the TV, searching the channels for something. I roll my eyes, knowing he can't see my face, but needing to do it anyway. That was the whole point of your stupid drinking game. Don't want to answer? Take a shot. Elementary shit, Rumi. He grips into my flesh near my hip with the hand around my waist, disliking my mocking behavior, his thumb effortlessly slipping up and under my tank top, touching more of my skin. I've found I like pissing him off. I've never acted like this with Patrick. I'd never talk to him the way I do with Hawk. Pushing Patrick's buttons gets me a lecture on Christian values. Pushing Hawk's gets me fucked in the backseat of a car.
You know I had to do this. I had to have you to myself, one way or another.
He kills me when he says stuff like that. It makes me want to just wrap my arms around him and hold him to me. But life just isn't that simple. He finally finds what he was searching for. A scene pops on the screen before us as my eyes widen in disbelief. I turn my cheek to face him, throwing a questionable glance as he simply keeps his dark, hooded eyes on the screen. A beautiful woman with curves for days, donning red lingerie, is perched on all fours in the middle of a hotel room bed. A man is at the edge of the bed, completely naked, stroking himself before her, while the other sits back on the couch, watching them with his hand in his pants. Hawk put on porn after I refused to answer the question of whether or not I'd watched it. That asshole. He's totally taunting me. I couldn't answer the lewd question with Patrick, eyeing me the way he was. Of course I'd watched porn before. I'm a curious being. But that was one can of worms I wasn't willing to open during the drinking game. Or ever, for that matter. That stuff stays private with me. A quick swallow of a throat-burning substance was a welcomed alternative. A gasp leaves me as I see the woman take the man into her mouth. Heat flashes through my body, trailing up to my cheeks where it's obvious I'm blushing, even with only the dim light of the movie illuminating us. I feel Hawk scoop my hair to the side of my neck, his warm, bare chest surrounding me, strong arms locking me against him, making my body come alive. I'm aware of every ridge of muscle that rubs against me, his delicious woodsy musk with hints of leather and cigarettes that does something wild to my senses. He brushes his lips against the skin under my ear, and I'm totally aware of every touch that's sending my heart pounding into the night.
That guy masturbating on the couch, that's her husband.
I take notice of the rings they are both wearing. What the hell is this?
Some guys like seeing their girl get fucked by a bigger cock.
I swallow again, feeling totally parched in the desert that is Hawk's raw sexuality. He squeezes me down against him, running my ass along the hardened ridge of his growing erection. Hawk, please, we can't. But my pleas go unnoticed as his hands find my thighs beneath the blanket. They slowly trail upward before gripping the soft part of my inner thighs, pulling me backward until I'm above his cock, my ass resting on his lower abdomen. I turn to look at Patrick again. God, I'm going to hell for this.
He's not waking up, no matter how loud you scream.
As soon as he says the words, his fingers find my center. They run over my mound covered in the thin cotton material, slick and wet, as soon as they press against me. I release a breathy moan as he groans in delight.
Oh, Jesus, Cole.
He murmurs against the back of my neck. My eyes find the screen again as I watch the man mount this woman. Her husband's hand working faster as his pants slide down further, exposing his crude act. It's all so erotic, so lewd, so insatiably intoxicating. I'm watching another man take his woman, while Hawk is taking me in front of Patrick. He pulls my loose shorts to the side and slides a finger along my slit. Hawk! I protest again before he fills me with his finger. My head falls back against his chest, which is rising and falling quicker than before. His other hand slides up and under my camisole, cupping my breast in his large palm. The man on the screen sucks on the woman's nipples, nipping them with his teeth at the same time Hawk pinches mine between his fingers. My body is screaming for him again, like it always does, needing him in the deepest parts of me, craving our connection like a bad habit that won't let up. It's all so much. Too much. I'm in sensory overload watching the film while he plays with me, paranoid that Patrick will wake up and see us fondling each other's private parts and dry-humping to porn. Just roommate shit, right? Hawk eases another finger into me, his thumb circling my clit as the sound of my arousal coats his fingers. The feeling of his erection pressing beneath my ass as he thrusts with each insertion of his fingers tells me he's imagining sliding into my warm, wet center.
Fuck, Cole. You love watching porn with me, don't you, baby?
Hearing the words fall off his lips is literally enough to get me on the brink of orgasm. I'm already letting breathy moans escape my lips, giving him all the signs he needs to tell him to keep going.
No,
he says suddenly, removing his fingers and pushing me up off him some. My mind goes into panic mode. I asked him to stop, but now he's the one stopping it?
I need inside you.
My brow arches in confusion. Surely he can't be thinking of doing this right now. Not here. I feel him adjust his hips behind me, pulling his sweats down just enough to expose himself. I place a palm back on his bare chest, stopping him. Hawk, this isn't... He brings me back against his chest, pulling the blanket up and over us, denying my useless protests while covering whatever he has planned from the eyesight of Patrick. Pulling my shorts to the side, stretching them out. His long arms reach around between my thighs to line himself with my entrance. Before I can say another word, he holds me by my hips, guiding me down onto him. I feel the thick, swollen head sink in through my walls, the rest of his massive length stretching me the further down I slide, my sex rippling with a pained satisfaction. We both gasp at the feeling before I feel him rest his head against the back of my neck. He's trying to hold it together, attempting to breathe through it. I know he badly wants to grunt and slam into me again. I know how hard it is for him to just sit still when all these electrical impulses are wildly firing away at the sensation of him raw inside me. Hawk, we shouldn't be doing this here. I'm grasping at straws for a little clarity, but with the way my brain is becoming fuzzy, the way the room is now a little hazy, I know I'm losing any control I wish I had.
Oh, I love it when you spout off useless shit with my dick deep in you,
he murmurs against my neck. I moan loudly as he spreads my thighs with his, gaining access to the deepest part of me, making my lower stomach tighten with pleasure as the feeling of being filled takes over. He quickly wraps his hand over my mouth as a precaution.
Bite down if you need to,
he instructs, kissing the side of my head.
Now open your eyes, beautiful. Watch the screen with me.
I didn't even realize I'd closed them tightly at the sensations. I open my eyes just as there's a close-up of the man screwing this woman from behind, slamming relentlessly into her, causing her ass to bounce with the thrusts while her husband continues watching. The man is wild, insatiably wild. It's as if he'd been eyeing his buddy's wife for a long time and finally got the chance to let out all that pent-up sexual frustration. He's grunting now, gripping at her flesh, seemingly close. It's insanely sexy. Hawk has one hand across my mouth, the other pushing down on my clit as he slides up into me, his head resting against my shoulder as both of our eyes are on the movie. Patrick shifts from his position on the couch and we both freeze instantly. My eyes are closed, as if the simple act somehow shields me from his wrath. But he doesn't wake up. He just rolls slightly, one of his arms dropping off of the side of the couch, dragging his knuckles against the floor as he continues snoring. My heart rate peaks, and now my body is on the anxiety come down. We sit still, connected, until both of our breaths slowly regulate and we can finish what we've started. I can feel just how wet I am from this experience, whether it's the porn, the fact that this is so taboo, or just Hawk's touch alone. I'm insanely turned on. I squeeze his dick inside me as we stay paused in place, and he nearly buckles.
Oh, fuck, Cole. I'm gonna come if you tighten yourself around me like that again.
So naturally, I do it again.
Oh, shit.
He hisses before reaching up and sticking two fingers in my mouth. His motions turn aggressive as he drives up into my wetness again and again.
I told you.
Thrust.
Don't.
Thrust.
Do that.
Thrust. I moan around his fingers, sucking on them with my tongue, feeling myself spasm around the wide base of him each time he pushes into me to the hilt as we move together. We're both on fire. The risk of being caught doing something so indecent is our fuel. Panting out of control into his hand, Hawk cups my breast, rolling his thumb over my pebbled nipple, nuzzling his head into my neck again, holding out for me. He doesn't need to hold out long. Dragging that hand down to my sex, he wets his fingers, coating them with my arousal before making quick circles against my clit. It's too much. That, the moans and grunts from the people on TV, the way his tongue has now found my ear, licking the length of it. And just the fact that my boyfriend is right here, passed out drunk, so Hawk could fuck me the way he so desperately needed to. With my body aching for its sweet release, I let go, falling into it, feeling myself begin to spasm around him. He feels it too, because his breaths become quick pants against my neck. I'm coming. I just barely whisper as my eyes seal shut, the intense wave of pleasure racking through my body from my neck, down my spine, to the base of my stomach, to my toes. Weak, muffled cries escape me as he holds me tighter against his chest than before. He shudders beneath my wilted form, pressing so deeply into me as he loses himself with a deep growl into my shoulder right after me. My breaths calm as his hands softly trace my skin. My eyes dart to Patrick immediately, seeing him still sleeping, less than 3 yards away from us. I slowly slide myself off of Hawk, his still engorged and heavy dick slapping against his taut abdomen as he drips out of me. I hate how much I love that feeling. I also hate how much I love seeing his cock glistening and wet from me. I stand before him, fixing my shorts, turning to face him with a little glare. He looks totally satisfied as his lazy, hooded sex eyes find mine, before his lip curls into a little smirk. "Never again," I mouth to him as he adjusts his sweats back over himself. He cocks his brow, throwing the blanket off of him, turning the movie off before standing and slowly stalking towards me. His tall frame grows on me as he runs a hand through his black hanging locks. I can't help but to admire the way his muscles flex as he prowls towards me, watching his dark, lust-filled eyes trace my figure. I walk inside the bathroom as he follows, my back hitting the wall while he shuts the door behind us. He smirks before grabbing the back of my neck and bringing me to his lips. He kisses me passionately, like he'd been dying to do it the entire time we were connected but couldn't. His tongue softly massages mine, sending chills down my arms. He gently pulls my bottom lip into his mouth, releasing it as his forehead rests against mine. His eyes find mine, and it's so much more than just lust. Deep emotion resides between us in this simple stare, but he swallows it down as his lips curl into a little smirk.
Again, you say? Thank you for listening to Hawk, written by Jesse Hall, performed by Avery Karras and Joe Arden, both members of SAG-AFTRA. Produced by Blue Nose Audio. Engineering by Ron Lipkin. Proofing by Danielle Barger. For more great titles from Jesse Hall, go to jessehall.com or find her on social media at jesse.hall. Copyright 2024 by Blue Nose Publishing. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.